preserve their traditional foods and their traditional remedies. And so, yeah, we'd be really working on that issue and helping avoid this sort of New World Order tyranny that seems to be being imposed. And in doing that, we've gotten very close to Ron Paul's campaign. And in fact, I was asked to help write the Health Freedom Plank, which they put on their website, and some of my suggestions were used in it, and, as were other people, I'm sure. And I've also been working with Ron Paul's legislative office on some legislation that would help undo the attacks on health freedom that have come very rapidly in the past year. Now, after several years of benign neglect, the FDA has engaged in four major initiatives in the past year that have been on the natural remedies world. You know, with that law that we passed in 1994, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, DSHEA, it became possible for people to have information about nutrients, and the nutrient market as a result went from about $1 billion a year in 94 to about $28 billion a year in 2005. So a very big increase, and a lot of people are taking a lot of nutrients. And some of the latest studies seem to show that that has a beneficial effect. There was a study that was reported in Europe recently in which people who take nutrients do seem to have better overall health than those who don't. So it's a very good sign. And we're happy to see that Ron Paul is taking the lead in introducing the Health Freedom Preservation Act, H.R. 2117. And if you go to globalhealthfreedom.org, there's actually a take action button that you can use to send a message to your congressman asking him to support that particular bill. What that bill does is it allows people to tell the truth about nutrients, and it stops the FDA from preventing people from telling the truth. And that's really all we can expect, is that people who have products to offer should be allowed to tell what's actually true about those products without a level or burden of proof that's so high that no one can, you know, reasonably be expected to meet that level. The FDA wants there to be, you know, significant scientific agreement among all the scientists before people can make claims about the health benefits of foods, even though those health benefits have been known fairly widely for a long time. They still,
scientists aren't going to agree about anything, much less food.
Right. Food is generally safe, you know, and we don't need to treat foods as though they were drugs or industrial toxins, which is what the FDA and the International Codex regime really want to do. What we need to do is treat them as foods and allow people to tell the truth. The Supreme Court in the United States set out the law very nicely in a case called Western States versus Thompson versus Western States, in which the Supreme Court said that regulating speech has to be the last resort, not the first resort. And they said that the Supreme Court, has rejected the idea that the government has any interest in stopping people from making, you know, even bad decisions using truthful information. If the information is truthful, people have a right to make whatever decision they want to. Now, the FDA doesn't believe that, despite the Supreme Court saying it. And one of the more bizarre codex maneuvers of the FDA in recent years was a presentation at one codex meeting where the U.S. delegate explained that, well, FDA studies and private studies have shown that where Americans are given the choice, they prefer to buy foods that are not genetically modified, you know, haven't been irradiated, haven't been otherwise manipulated, and they're willing to pay more for that. And then the FDA agent said that, but of course, you know, our position is that there's no difference between genetically modified food and other food, et cetera. And therefore, it would be a bad decision for Americans to exercise their freedom of choice in that area. So we oppose putting on labels whether products contain GM ingredients or are GM-free. In fact, if the U.S. got its way, people would not be able to know if they were eating genetically modified foods, if they were eating irradiated foods, or other foods that have been processed in ways that they might not be willing to accept. And it's this very cavalier attitude which is at the heart of the reason for the health freedom movement. the people who are
who
believe they know better
than
we as individuals know are really the problem. And there's a level of disgust growing in Washington over the way this particular agency has failed to protect the food supply safety, has failed to protect the public from dangerous drugs. In fact, it's well known now that about half of all the officially approved drugs have to get withdrawn because of the serious side effects that don't seem to matter when the drug is approved and only seem to come into play years later. So there's a level of distrust growing in the population, and certainly in the Washington establishment, the FDA is beginning to be seen as a failed agency. And there's really serious consideration of divesting the FDA of its authority over food safety and claims. Let the FDA focus on drugs and on medical devices and have a hard enough time protecting us against dangerous, misuse of prescription drugs. And certainly it's not really capable of dealing with food safety and that sort of issue. So we think there's a chance that will be taken away from that agency. Other areas have been taken away from the FDA over the years. The control over controlled dangerous substances, for example, was once in the FDA's control and is now a separate agency. So we think that there's a real possibility that the FDA will be further divided in order to take foods away from the people who want to treat them as industrial toxins instead of treating them as food.
Well, if some agency is controlling the food, they're really controlling the people.
This is true. And I'm certainly not interested in establishing yet another bureaucracy. But we know for sure the agency that currently controls food safety in this country is not doing it and should not be expected. Its mission is confused. It should not be overseeing foods, drugs, medical devices, cosmetics, all in one big agency, in which it seems sometimes that the interests of the big pharmaceutical companies are far more important than the interests of the people.
Ralph,
so
Ron
Paul especially has seen that, and when you look at his health freedom plank, it's very clear. In fact, when you look at
Ralph, can you back up a minute?
Sure.
Ralph?
I'm listening.
Ralph?
Yes.
Can you back up a minute? In terms of health freedom, doesn't the FDA have a hit list?
Well, that's, a good question. I've heard that rumor from a number of sources, and certainly in my career I've seen both the FDA and the Federal Trade Commission go through periods where they have certain types of things become stylish. That's what it's really about. Certain types of objections or of claims become stylish to attack for a while. Attack on colloidal silver, for example.
Don't they post those who they're going to go after? And that's one of your specialties, that you help protect people?
Well, certainly I help people write the language of their labels and their claims and the other information that they convey to the public in a way that doesn't run afoul of the FDA's red flags. I think that it's always possible to communicate in ways that don't call your attention yourself to the attention of people who can cause you a lot of harm.
People are ready for this new Health Reform Act that you helped put together. What's the bill trying to accomplish?
Well, as I said, over the past year, FDA has engaged in four major initiatives. And within those initiatives, one of them is their Complementary Alternative Medicine Guidance that was issued at the beginning of the year. Another is Health Claims Guidance, and there are others. Within those initiatives, there are 8 or 9 specific things that they've done that will make it harder for nutrient companies to communicate with the public and for alternative practitioners, complementary practitioners, whether they're, massage therapists or acupuncturists or whatever they may be. It'll make it more difficult for them to practice. And so what we've done is we've taken the nine most important of those attacks, of the parts of those attacks, and we've written a bill that reverses each one of those. And so it's really some technical changes that have the effect of reversing some of these FDA steps.
What rights are people going to lose, Ralph?
Well, the main right that they lose is the right to decide what food substances they're going to put in their own bodies in what amounts. And the bureaucracy decides instead what will be available on the market. Now, you know, Americans have gotten used to having available to them high levels of high potency nutrients, and that availability is threatened. Is it an immediate threat? Well, you know, these are always salami tactics. There are always things happening, and people are always finding ways to get around them. So I can't say to you that there's a deadline in 3 days. However, I can say that on December 22nd, the new rules have come into effect where if anyone feels they've had an adverse reaction to a nutrient, they'll report it to the companies involved. And the company is now required by law to report serious adverse events to the FDA. We think that law will show that there are very few, if any, serious adverse events when people are using natural products and dietary supplements. Although I think we will find quite a number of situations where people who are on some of the powerful drugs and medications that are available today, where they'll have interactions between these drugs and foods. Of course, one shouldn't blame the food for the interaction, but rather it's the drug that is causing the interaction. So I think the new reporting rules that start on December 22nd will actually show us that that nutrition is a very safe approach to maintaining health and wellness.
Ralph, if we are going to have the vitamin police, how far away is the food police?
Well, you know, since vitamins are foods, I think that they walk together. They're coming at the same time, and there are a lot of other areas in food concerns other than vitamins. For example, there's been a steady degradation of organic standards over the past number of years, in which more and more non-organic ingredients are allowed to be put in organic products without having to say that they're there on the label. You know, I'm certainly in favor of producers of foods being free to put whatever they want, whatever they think the public will be willing to pay for in their products. But I think that they have to tell on their labels the truth, which is, you know, not organic, or they have to say, you know, 90% organic or whatever it may be. They should tell the truth. And there are a lot of ethical companies out there that when they can't find, for example, purely organic flavorings, might use some non-organics, but then they'll put that on the label and make that clear to people. So that's really the honest thing is to have honest labeling. And
Ralph, I heard the other day,
last Friday, that they're looking for comments from the public on changes to the food labeling laws. And so I think that the issue of honest labeling may very well come up in the next number of months.
Ralph, I heard the other day that even if something is labeled organic, if it goes across the state line, it's radiated. Is that true?
Well, I think it's more international. There's an effort being made through Codex to irradiate all the foods that go in international trade. And there's a big struggle. There are a lot of countries that do not want irradiated foods brought into their countries, and certainly would expect that irradiated foods would be so labeled so that people can make a choice. If they don't want the food, if they don't want to have irradiated food, they'll be able to make that choice because the label will tell them clearly what's going on. There is this move afoot to require irradiation, but as I said, you know, the Codex guidelines are just that, they're guidelines. They are not mandatory. The only way they actually get enforced in the world is through the World Trade Organization, another UN agency, separate agency, which takes the Codex guidelines and says, well, we presume that these are the standard. But if a country chooses a different standard, then the World Trade Organization no longer has that presumption, and it weighs the case on its own merits without the codex regulations being dispositive. We call that the codex two-step, and it's something that Natural Solutions Foundation has developed to help especially developing countries avoid the codex control problem. So people can go to globalhealthfreedom.org and actually see information about the codex two-step, some videos, there's some books available, and they basically counsel. We've prepared a draft, a guideline, vitamin and mineral guideline that's pro-natural remedies and pro-dietary supplementation and nutrition. And instead of the one that the Codex organization adopted 2 years ago, which is not at all friendly to natural interventions and natural remedies. This one we wrote is favorable to that. And we've also drafted a model national vitamin law for various countries to adopt that really is much closer to the law that exists in the United States than it is to the law that exists elsewhere in the world. You know, essentially there are two models, two legal models in this world. There's the common law model, which is the law, the legal basis for the law of the United States and England, and Australia and New Zealand. The common law is a traditional law that is based on individual freedom, the right to contract, the right to private property. In contrast to that law, the common law, there is the law that arose from the Roman Code and the Napoleonic Code. And Codex is part of that. Codex Alimentarius, which actually is Latin for food code, came about initially, the beginning of the 20th century when the Austria-Hungarian Empire extended the Napoleonic Code and created a food code to allow judges in this Austrian-Hungarian Empire to make decisions about food trade issues, because that empire was an empire of different nationalities and different countries, and it needed to have some regularized rules. Those rules became the basis for what we call today Codex Alimentarius, which is the UN agency that is supposed to promote food safety and the worldwide food trade. Worldwide food trade being very important to prevent famine in many places of the world. So Codex as an initial idea, as a way of helping the world food trade, is a good idea, but as it became implemented, it became really the plaything of some very big industrial interests and a few large countries, and the rest of the world and the traditional and more natural approaches became pushed aside. And we want to see that reversed. So, what was tonight you were going to talk about the presidential candidates, though. I don't know if you'd like to hear a little bit about Ron Paul's position on some of the health freedom issues. I could, they are written out and published. Actually, if you go to my blog, I have a blog. It's called vitaminlawyerhealthfreedom.blogspot.com. Blogspot is a major site that people go to set up blogs. So that's where I set mine up. And as I said, you go to HTTP :// and then just all one long word, vitaminlawyerhealthfreedom, then blogspot, blogspot.com. And you'll find my blog. And on that blog I have, I think it's the second posting down, Ron Paul Health Freedom, but there's an index that will get you to it.
Ralph?
Yes.
Stop a minute.
Yes.
I have been off the air, and so I just want to kind of pick up a minute, because I don't know what you've been talking about.
I've been talking about some health freedom issues, and I was about to get to Ron Paul's answers to 19 questions about health freedom.
Okay, I want to ask you two things first.
Sure.
One, if this bill does not go through, I am beginning to feel very paranoid that if I go to McDonald's, they're going to weigh me to see if I can buy a Big Mac.
Well, I hope it hasn't gotten that far. And certainly in a free society, adults should be, you know, free to choose what they eat and even how much they want to weigh.
Well, if they control vitamins and food, you know, they may do that. I think that people are really ready for the government to get out of our business, out of our hair.
I think so, too.
And I want to encourage people to go to the Ron Paul site and look at what is happening there.
Right.
If you want to look at the money that's coming in.
Yeah, you go to ronpaul2008.com, and yes, they're trying to raise more money today than they have ever raised in one day before, and their base is responding. Yeah, they more than doubled. You're right. They're raising $several million in one day, and that's all to get ready for the primaries that are happening in Iowa and South Carolina and a few other states. Right around the start of the new year, and it's going to be.
It's coming in at about $3,000 a minute.
Right.
It's incredible.
And
I donated today, and it came up on the screen. Recent donor Sherry Edwards, and I grabbed it really quick on my screen grab of my computer. I'm going to frame it, and when he wins, I'm going to say I was part of changing history. I just think that's incredible.
Excellent. I'm looking at Ron Paul's answers to these health freedom questions, and a couple of his statements are so strong that I'd like to share them with the audience. For example, in one of the statements, we ask about this bill, the Health Freedom Protection Act, which he introduced, and it's H.R. 2117, and he responds, I introduced H.R. 2117, and I oppose all FDA actions that in any way infringe on the First Amendment rights of consumers to learn about the health benefits of dietary supplements. And we asked him about his views on this complementary alternative medicine guidance that was issued by the FDA. By the way, FDA, it was really a funny story. FDA issues its guidance on December 26th, 2006. Now, I don't know, I've never heard of a federal agency working on the day after Christmas, but apparently the FDA did. They issued the guidance, but they didn't bother issuing a press release. They always issue press releases when they issue guidances, but this one they didn't issue a press release. And then they waited until February 26th, 2 months later, into the year 2007, before they bothered putting a notice in the Federal Register, which, of course, is where they're supposed to put notices of official actions. And they didn't bother putting up a press release about that either. It almost slipped through without anybody noticing. But we did notice that 197,000 people sent messages to the FDA opposing this creation of this new category called a CAM product. You know, if you use hot rocks to soothe someone's back, the rocks are now a medical device. At least by one extrapolation of what they say in that guidance. Ron Paul says, I oppose the CAM regulation draft guidelines, and I submitted comments to the FDA in opposition to those regulations. So he doesn't just oppose it, but he actually submitted his own letter of opposition. He was one of those 197,000 people.
And what's really important is he's going to keep his word. When we did vocal profiles on all of the candidates, he is the only one that consistently had the same print over any issue he was talking about. He was not skirting any issues. And if I see that he, and I believe you, he said, I oppose FDA interference. I'm
right.
Looking at his vocal print, and I totally believe that that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So many presidents get into office, and they don't do what they say they're going to do.
Well, some of the other things he's saying here, we asked him about the Trilateral Cooperation Charter of the North American Union and those international agencies that are being used to restrict health freedom. And he said, I am the leading congressional opponent of the North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership. He said, I oppose all efforts to harmonize American law with the law of other countries, and I've taken the lead in working to mobilize congressional opposition to this trilateral cooperation charter. I do not support allowing the president to erode our freedom and threaten our sovereignty by executive agreement. As president, I will withdraw the United States from the North American Union. I oppose all harmonization. Centralization of power and control breeds oppression. Now, these are, you know, he personally answered all these questions. I am the leading congressional opponent of CODEX. I will seek to stop U.S. participation in the CODEX process. And then gone and on. All those. I oppose harmonization.
Awesome. I took a video clip, audio clip of him, about him talking about this, just what you're saying, and health care. And
right.
People need to know about this in combination with what other candidates are saying. But, Ralph, you've been with us for a long time, and maybe some people out there don't know what vocal profiling is or really means. Can you give people a little summary and maybe some of your experiences with it?
Okay, I would be happy to do so. Yes, I've experienced this wonderful work that you've created many times over the past 15 or more years, and my wife is one of your students, and I've taken some of the courses as well. So, you know, I'm very much attuned to what you're doing. Essentially, my experience has been that when my voice is analyzed, the information that comes back to me appears to be very accurate, very powerful information. It's the personality profiler I thought was, 90%, it's...
Okay. So I wanted a lawyer's viewpoint. Now, when we did...
It is, from my point as a lawyer, I have to say that it is not a form of medicine. It's a form of feedback information that helps you understand your own health status.
Okay, in terms of what he's just said about healthcare, and he pretty much repeated it on this video. The other thing he said is healthcare has been taken out of the hands of the doctors and the nurses and has been put into the hands of corporate America, who has dollars as their end product, where the physician and the nurses has your care as their end product. And he's very right. When you look at HMOs, that's
right.
Exactly what...
But
this is what his chart says to me, and I'm going to post this on our site, and we're going to ask Don to post it on Vocal Impressions. That's on BBS radio. It's on the left side of second page down. There's two different... I'm trying to do two things at once here and talk. There's two different sections on the front page of BBS. The first section is all about BBS, and the second is about other people who are on BBS. On the left side, it's called Vocal Impressions. We already have Hillary's there. We have Obama. We have Giuliani. We have a lot of the candidates and where they really stand on issues and from issue to issue. I didn't know anything about Ron Paul when somebody asked me to do the candidates. And once I did his print, then I was so impressed that I started digging more. And one of the things I want to read is his profile, and this is taking about a couple of minutes of his print and then having the computer spit out a profile. This chart indicates a person who considers many levels of input and implication simultaneously. His first path to thinking is logic and justice and how that will physically affect humanity. There is considerable care and concern exhibited throughout the octave ranges represented by the blue bars that run from C-sharp to F-sharp. You can look at that on the graph. This implies that the subject of justice, self-approval, verbalization and carrying out of plans will be carried out with the idea of the betterment of all concerned. The active F-sharp indicates that plans will be carried out but a smaller F indicates that an absolute plan has not been established. And I think that's good. He's not going to go in there with, this is how it's going to be. Self-approval is high. Energy is high. But most of all, there's a commitment to justice and the personal set of ideals and drink to go along with making things balanced for everyone. And it says, he can be very stubborn if truth, justice, and fairness is involved. It's sometimes hard for him to understand why some people would consider him controlling. But I think this country needs a strong hand. Your ability to champion a cause is admirable.
Mm-hmm.
You can become, or you have the ability to allow others to see your strengths and support their own needs. You know, I could read more of this, but I think you get the idea.
I do.
That this is a highly integral person who has a large dose of love for the people and is going to stand behind him. You know, a lot of times in Congress, like you say, he's been the lone vote out in opposing something that was not of the Constitution. A constitutionalist. What is a constitutionalist, Ralph?
Someone who believes in the Constitution, who believes that we should take it seriously, unlike George Bush, who reportedly said it's just a goddamn piece of paper.
When did that happen?
He did. I heard that rumor that he said that. Of course, he did take an oath to uphold that piece of paper, but I guess his solemn oaths taken in front of the entire nation are not that meaningful.
Oh, my gosh. I'm saving this right now. That's a weird sound you hear on the computer. He's up to $6,453,348.29.
Wow.
At this rate, we'll not make $7 million by midnight. So we encourage everybody, you know, go donate a dollar, anything.
Anything, right, exactly.
Our country and our freedoms are at stake. Ralph, there was a question asked last night when Stephen Vincent was on.
Yep.
I want to ask you the same question because
Go ahead.
Did not have time to get the answers. And this is from Marilyn. She was in our audience here in the class last night. I'm concerned that Bush will cancel the election by announcing a national emergency and martial law. How do you think the American people will respond to that tactic to keep Ron Paul out of the White House? Your opinion, please. Yeah, I heard that sigh.
Yeah. I believe that that Americans have an opportunity with Ron Paul to really make a change in this country. And I think that it's an opportunity that may happen once in a generation. I hope that it's an opportunity that enough people decide to take them. They seem to be. I mean, the numbers that are coming in, as you read, seem to indicate something real happening. I believe that that there's nothing that the political establishment can say that will that'll be usable against Ron Paul. Although, you know, we know from what they did with, for example, John Kerry and his Swift Boat incident, that they can take a person who is a military hero and turn him into something else, and take the person who carefully avoided serving in the war and turn him into a military hero. So, you know, I can't even hazard a guess at what might happen in the coming election.
Well, you said this only happens once in a generation. I don't think it's happened since the American Revolution. And
you
I think the internet. The internet
may be the one chance. This open internet that we have now. It may not be open much longer, but this may be the opportunity.
Well, so you, as an attorney, can't venture any guesses as to whether this is a possibility. But remember what Jerome Corsi said last night on the show? We played that Bush has written this mandate that he can take over all governments, federal, state, tribal, all organizations, all businesses, everything, and he is going to run it, and he doesn't even have to tell Congress or ask Congress's permission. All he has to do is say there's a national emergency, and he gets to define that even. I'm on my soapbox.
There's no question that the president's people would say that he has that power, that he's adopted the regulations, and if he declares the emergency, he will act as though he has that power. This
How
is very much the similar situation as in Pakistan. where, you know, a few weeks ago the dictator engineered his own re-election as president by promising the opposition a chance to have a free election for parliament. And now, in the past 24 hours, he's declared martial law and they're going to put off the parliamentary election for a year. So, yes, you know, is this sort of thing conceivable? Yes,
on the show last night, too, we talked about Naomi Wolf and her book, The End of America.
I saw her videotape on, I think it's YouTube or one of the others. Very, very powerful.
And she shows us right there how Bush is taking all of the steps right down the line, the same as Hitler. And making this mandate, and it's against the law that's already on the books.
Yeah.
To me is just more than I want to tolerate or think about.
Well,
it just turns my...
It's not much different than the expansive view of the presidency that Richard Nixon held or that Abraham Lincoln held. I mean, Lincoln's view of the presidency was so expansive that he thought it was worth 500,000 lives to maintain the power of that office, and the rest of this country went along with it. So the ability of the American people to forget their history is astounding.
Ralph, let's go back to health freedom. How do the other candidates stand on health freedom?
They don't. They've been asked questions, 19 of them, 19 questions. They've been asked those questions by thousands, actually something like 80,000 times in the past few weeks. Several of them have contacted Natural Solutions Foundation, begging the organization to stop having messages sent to them. But none of them have answered the questions other than Ron Paul. So apparently they have no position on health freedom, and they will have to continue to get the questions faxed and emailed to them until they decide they will need to have a position. It's not an issue that's going to go away. Alleged front-running candidates are not going to be able to ignore it. People are going to demand their right to choose what to do for their own health care. This is a much broader issue than vitamins. It's really about health care and the right of adults to make their own choices without the government making those choices for us. And that's
we should have that right anyway.
Issue. I'm sorry?
We should have that right anyway. He's just
we
standing there.
We do have
there.
That right. We should not. That right should not be violated. That's, you know,
yeah.
We do have the right. It's not given to us by government. As human beings, we have the right to control our own bodies. All government can do is violate the right. You know, government does not grant us rights, and all we need government to do is to get out of the way so we can exercise those rights that we have by and of our own nature as independent individuals.
I think Ron Paul's campaign shows how ready people are and how fed up they are
there's
with
a,
what's going on.
There's a significant portion of the population that is intellectually equipped to understand the concepts involved and the issues and the significance of the issues. There's a lot of the population that is not. There, you know, it's been several generations of government schools creating the myth of the two-party system and the myth of government as beneficent. And so there's a large constituency. As Ron Paul points out over and over again, there are a lot of people who become dependent on this huge government, and it's going to become necessary to find a soft landing for them. And of course, his approach to that soft landing, to protecting Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, is to stop spending trillions of dollars on an overseas empire, to simply stop it.
Yes.
And that would free up so much money that we could drastically lower taxes and still meet all of those obligations to people who have become dependent on the government.
Ralph, I want to know what these questions are that these candidates have refused to answer. We got about 10 minutes. We have less than 10 minutes, 8 maybe. Can you
sure,
tell us?
Sure, happy to.
Yeah,
I can absolutely
just the
tell you
questions
what they
refuse to answer.
Well, there. As I said, there are a number of. Take the first one here. This one. The FDA draft guidance on health claim substantiation. It's this issue between, you know, whether a normal, ordinary, commercial level of proof is needed to make health claims, or whether you have to have this extraordinary level of proof the FDA wants. And so the question is, are you aware of the FDA draft guidance on health claim substantiation issued this summer, which mandates an unreasonably high significant scientific agreement standard instead of the normal, what we call competent and reliable scientific evidence standard, as proposed in H.R. 2117. And that's one of the questions. Are they aware that the FDA even issued this draft guidance? Let me ask them again, do you support H.R. 2117, the Health Freedom Protection Act? And that's one of the other questions that only Ron Paul would answer, of course, in the positive. We asked protection for dietary supplements. Do you support continuing strong protection for dietary supplements, for dietary supplements, as in the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, which is the law from 1994 that allows us to have access to these vitamins? And so they didn't answer that question as to whether they would support continuing the strong protections that have been in the law for the past 13 years. We asked about bioidentical hormones. Do you support the right of men and women to use supplemental bioidentical hormones such as DHEA and progesterone to support the normal function during the changes of life and premature aging? And this is a very big issue because we know that bioidentical hormones, which are basically food substances that mimic normal human hormones and are part of the normal human diet, these substances can have a very great benefit to people's health. None of the other candidates other than Ron Paul has even thought about the issue. Ron Paul says the federal government has no constitutional authority to stop Americans from using bioidentical hormones. Another question is about compounding pharmacies. You know, compounding pharmacies are those pharmacies where you can go and have medications mixed for your personal needs. The big pharmaceutical industry doesn't like it and wants to outlaw it. The candidates, you know, haven't said a word about compounding pharmacies, except for Ron Paul. And he says, again, the federal government has no constitutional authority to restrict the operations of compounding pharmacies.
Ralph, I need to ask a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys put out a press release entitled Candidates Refuse to Answer Questions About Health Freedom?
We put out the press release when we first issued the scorecard. We put out a press release about it on PR Web. PR Web is excellent, and it went out and was picked up by many outlets. And we've been telling people on our e-blast what's been going on, because about once a week or so we send out a message to our supporters, to the hundreds of thousands of people who have signed up to be willing to make their voices heard, and we keep them informed. So that's why it's important for people to go to globalhealthfreedom.org and sign up for the e-list, because that way they'll be informed about the latest developments. As I said, just Friday, the FDA decided that it wants to look again at food labels. Now, the people on our list are going to know about that, and they're going to have a chance to express their views that food labels should be honest and truthful and let people know when there's genetically modified ingredients or irradiated ingredients or other things that people might not want when the organic standards aren't being met if there's a claim that it's organic and whatnot.
Have you posted this list anywhere so people can go read it?
Yes. If you go to the globalhealthfreedom.org website, the questions are all there. There's a take action item. There's a bunch of take action items that you can do on that website. And one of them is to send a message to these candidates asking them to answer those 19 questions. And, of course, the questions are all listed there for you to look at. And they cover the entire range of health
issues. And they're probably not answering them because anytime they answer one of those...
Well, they're aware of them. Obama was aware of them because they were upset they were getting so many messages. Apparently, they don't want to really communicate with the public. They want all their communication to be one way. And... Gravel, Mike Gravel's office called us, and they were getting far too many messages too, apparently. And they, we were promised answers from them, but that was about 2 weeks ago, and nothing's happened yet. So we have to assume that the promises are not really meaningful.
How can people get in touch with you, Ralph?
I'm sorry?
Ralph, how can people get in touch with you?
My website is vitaminlawyer.com. That's one word, vitaminlawyer.com. And my email address is on my website in many places, so it's easy to remember. Just go to vitaminlawyer.com, and you can definitely reach me. I also have my blog, which I'm maintaining, the Vitamin Lawyer Health Freedom blog, which you can go to vitaminlawyer.blogspot.com. Well, I'm sorry, vitaminlawyerhealthfreedom.blogspot.com. Got to get that right.
And of course, again,
globalhealthfreedom.org. is the main space to go to.
There's lots of people came in, so you'll have to come back again. But in the last minute we have, I want to encourage people to go to ronpaul2008. Is it .org,
Ralph? No, ronpaul2008.com.
.com.
You know, and as we've been talking, I have a suspicion that many thousands of dollars more were donated to the cause to help him... change this country, yeah. Wow. Since we've been talking, a couple hundred thousand dollars has been donated. That's quite astounding that that a man who the mass media says is a minor candidate is being given this much support by people around the country, because it shows that there's a real change happening. This is, I think, the first election of the Internet era.
Yeah, it's going to change history. It's really easy to do this. You only have to agree to three things. One, that if you pay on a credit card, you will pay that your legal obligation. One, and another, that you're a United States citizen, and this is your own personal fund. That's the only thing you have to agree to. And so much money is coming in that they're updating it by the minute.
Right.
We're up to 6 million. We need 12 million. I really would like to see that as 7 million by the end of the evening.
I think it's
phenomenal that there's somebody standing there and says, I'm going to be your protection between you and a government that is rotten. Ralph, thank you
Sherry.
For being on the show. We're out of time, people. We will continue this. I'm sorry I could not answer more of the questions. We'll try to get to those later. We probably got 3 or 4 pages of the emails here. We will get to it.
I'll be happy to come back. Let me know when.
Yes, Ralph, we will definitely have you back. You are like the pivot of people who are in the know about health freedom, health standards, self-health, and that's what this show's about. Getting it out to people. And for those of you who want to know about what the candidates really think and really know, we just did Fred Thompson's and posted it. It should be up there by tomorrow morning. It's very surprising what he thinks is going to happen in his campaign. And he's lying with his words, but we caught him. You can't lie with the frequencies of your voice. So, we're out of time.
How true.
Being here.